Well, it has been a while, but we're very pleased to have you back for another edition of Chicago's Legal Latte. Hi, everyone. I'm Jim Mitchell. And we get together periodically on this podcast with folks from Lavelle Law to talk about important and pressing topics that may be impacting you as an individual or a business. And today we're going to take a look at something that is really affecting a lot, well, almost all businesses here in 2024. We'll be joined by attorney Frank Proterra, who has been working diligently on this, what is known as the Corporate Transparency Act. So first of all, Frank, thanks so much for taking time. I know this is a big item, so looking forward to our conversation today.
Yeah, of course, Jim. Thanks for having me.
So I mentioned Corporate Transparency Act. Maybe people have seen it in the news. They've heard things, gotten some information, but this is a real deal. It's happening. What can you tell us about it at a high level?
Yeah, the Corporate Transparency Act is here, as you mentioned. It's been all the buzz lately, really, ever since last fall. And the federal government was a little late with its guidance, but we finally got it. So, as of January 1st, 2024, this law went into effect. And basically, what it does is just starting to combat illicit activity, money laundering, tax fraud. It seems that a lot of other countries in the world have already been doing this sort of reporting, and the United States and the federal government are kind of just catching on now.
Yeah, tell me a little bit more about that purpose. And you mentioned money laundering. What are we really trying to achieve or prevent with this law?
Yeah, the kind of creation of shell companies in the US, no matter what state, that's what we're there really trying to crack down on. And by them, I mean the federal government.
Okay.
So by having a database, and we'll get into that, but having a database of each owner of these companies, it would assist them in their, crime prevention and law enforcement as well.
I think the initial reaction for people, some people I've talked to as well, have said, "Well, I'm a small guy; it doesn't matter. I'm not going to be impacted by this." But I think when you get into things like moving money and shell corporations, it's sometimes those smaller companies that are really the ones that are impacting that. So, does this cover virtually any business in the U.S.?
Yeah, it actually does. So by the letter of the law, it is any business entity that's registered with the Secretary of State. So it could be the Illinois Secretary of State, it could be the Delaware Division of Corporations, Wisconsin, Indiana, any state, and any company really. So any corporation, any LLC, any limited partnership as well. Not-for-profits too. There are some
Okay.
exemptions that we can talk about, but generally, all companies that are registered with secretaries of state must file this beneficial ownership report.
And I want to talk about that report. You mentioned in our introduction, Frank, that it went into effect this new law January 1st of 2024. What does that mean? If I didn't do something January 1st, am I behind, or what? How is this rolling out?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, as of January 1st, 2024, the law went into effect. Obviously, the federal government knows that these existing businesses that were formed prior to that date need some time to gather their information, do the analyses, and file these reports. So they have existing companies filed before January 1st of 2024 have until the end of this year. So you have until January 1st of 2025 to file these reports. And then any new businesses that are created after January 1st of 2024, you have 90 days from your formation date to file those. So we're still kind of within that ballpark until the end of this month, really, to file for any new corporate companies in 2024. But for existing businesses, you have until the end of this year.
So as a small business owner myself, I hear the words file a report and I re immediately get nervous. I'm like, oh, this is going to be overwhelming. What do I have to dig up? What does it really mean when you're talking in this instance about filing a report with the government?
Yeah, it starts with a kind of a couple step analysis, really. First, you have to figure out whether you're a reporting company at all.
Okay.
So one, of course, are you registered with the Secretary of State? That's kind of an easy one. And then the second one is, are you exempt from this filing? And there's a list of 23 exemptions. And the most common one, really, that we're finding is the large operating company exemption. And that is an exemption for those companies that have a physical office location or a physical, brick and mortar shop here in the US somewhere, 20 or more employees, and then $5 million or more in revenue that was last reported. So those are that's part of a multi-pronged test. I think there's six prongs altogether, but those are kind of the three main points of that large operating company exemption. There's also an exemption for 501c3s and other tax-exempt organizations. So I mentioned earlier that not-for-profits could file; they could not be forced to file. If you are registered federally as a 501c3 charity, you're exempt from this filing. And the general purpose of these exemptions are, does the federal government already know who you are, right?
Got it.
If you're a big company and you're doing a lot of revenue, you have a lot of employees, multiple locations, odds are the federal government knows who you are. If you're filing federally for tax exemption, they know who you are. Another one is, accounting firms or state licensed insurance brokers, professions that have already been registered or are heavily regulated by the federal government would be exempt from these. So, but it's best to, consult with an attorney, and do your due diligence to make sure that you're not, just thinking you're exempt when you're really not.
Sure. So let's get into the nuts and bolts. I've seen some slides you've shared and presentations you've been doing, and I know you hosted some seminars and things. There are a couple of terms that come up, beneficial owner, and I think it's company applicants. Can you tell us what those are and how they impact what we're talking about today?
So once you do kind of figure out that you are a reporting company, your company is a reporting company, and you don't qualify, unfortunately, for any exemptions, you kind of have to go into the analysis of who is a beneficial owner. And it's kind of a two-part test. By owner, by the common sense of the word, we know it to mean, equity ownership, right? Stocks, membership interests, partnership interests. Who is a beneficial owner? The term is for 25% or more of the outstanding ownership interest. So you could have, four owners that each own 25%, and each of those people would be beneficial owners. You could have, 10 owners that own 10%. They would not be beneficial owners under the first prong, but we get into the second prong, which is substantial control. A beneficial owner is also someone who exercises substantial control, and that's kind of a term of art under the act. But substantial control is someone who's like a senior officer, someone who has authority to appoint or remove a certain officers, someone who's an important decision maker, and someone generally who has the substantial control of that reporting company. So we have examples where, there is obviously, there's 25% or more equity owners. Those are going to be beneficial owners that we have to report. There's a president maybe that doesn't have any ownership interest, but they have substantial control. So we would have to report them, their information as well.
And when you talk about reporting, well, I guess let me not get ahead. Company applicants, I guess, was the other term that falls in there. Is that different, or how does that?
So company applicants is different, and company applicants are only required for those companies that are organized after January 1st of 2024. So for those existing companies, not something necessarily that you have to worry about. But company applicants are those who kind of direct the filing with the Secretary of State. So if you hire an attorney, you hire Lavelle Law, and we form your new LLC or corporation with the Secretary of State. And I file that for you. I would be a direct filer. There can be no more than two company applicants. So I would be a company applicant by way of directly filing the formation document. The other person of the company applicant would be that person who directed or controlled that filing. So kind of the organizer, and that would generally be our client. So for company applicants, it would be kind of anyone who's directing the filing. Anyone who's in control of that organization document. And I think that the federal government isn't making companies organized prior to this year do that because, if they're 30, 40-year-old companies, who was that person that really formed the company at the inception? It's going to be tough to track them down.
We're talking with Frank Proterra today of Lavelle Law, and we're going to try and squeeze a few more questions in here, but obviously we won't get to everything we want to talk about with the Corporate Transparency Act. We'll get some contact information from Frank before we let him go, but the form itself, the filing, is that complex process?
Yeah, it can be, especially if you have a unique situation where you have to do that analysis of who are the beneficial owners. In our practice, it's always better to over disclose and not kind of guess and under disclose and run into problems later. So if you think that you're running up against that substantial control definition and you have an officer that, you think sometimes they exercise substantial control, but sometimes they don't, or you have a director that does or does not, it's probably best to consult with an attorney and get their take on it. It's tough to also wrangle all the information together as well that you need to upload to the secure website with FinCEN, the agency of the U.S. Department of Treasury. So while this is just a one-time filing, until any information changes, it is a hefty filing and it is something not to take lightly.
So you just mentioned what that was my next question. Is this something ongoing, or once you do it, you're set?
Yeah, so unlike your regular run-of-the-mill Secretary of State annual reports, this is just a one-time filing. They just want to get all the beneficial owners for each company on record in their database. And that is until, some kind of ownership information changes. So maybe a new officer is appointed. At that point, you would have to go in and correct or update the prior report. Say some stock is sold and a 25% owner is changed. At that point, you would go and change it as well. If a company becomes exempt down the road, maybe they become a large operating company down the road, you would go in at that point and file a change to show that you are now exempt from this report.
You mentioned that most companies have the year to get this done. What's the consequence of not complying?
Yeah, there's some pretty scary fines that the U.S. Department of Treasury has laid down in their guidance. Civil penalties in the amount of $500 per day for non-compliance, and then possible criminal fines up to $10,000 and 2 years imprisonment. So, sounds pretty scary. So it's definitely something to put on your radar while you have time, and consult with professionals to get it done.
All right, two things before I let you go. The first is the federal government, are they sharing information? Is there a place people can go just if they want to read and take a look at what all this is about before they jump in?
Yeah, there's some guidance, some small business compliance guides that you can search on the U.S. Department and FinCEN's website. It kind of goes through step-by-step guides of what the report is and how to file it, and the exemptions are listed there as well with explanations and even illustrations of the analysis that we were talking about who is a beneficial owner, what does substantial control mean? So those small business entity compliance guides are really good resources.
Good resource, but I know frequently a lot of us look at those and still a little hesitant. So I think that's where we turn to you, Frank, and say, all right, what can you do to help me? What does that look like if I call up Lavelle Law and say, I want to get
Yeah.
this done right?
Yeah, of course. We, as always, offer, 1 hour free initial consultations. With no obligation. So we would be happy to speak with anybody that hears or watches this video cast and help you with your analysis and how to get this beneficial ownership report filed on time. We are going to offer this report service for a flat fee of $149. There is no filing fee to the U.S. federal government, but our flat fee of $149 would be charged after we file that for you. If any updates are needed, we would charge that
Sure.
$149, maybe a couple of years down the road as well.
Okay. And how do they get a hold of you, Frank, particularly if they want to have a further
Yeah,
conversation?
of course. Yeah, you can call our office. Our main number is 847-705-7555. You can visit us at lavellelaw.com or email me at fporterra@lavellelaw.com.
Well, Frank, really appreciate the conversation today. Very informative, very helpful. And again, 847-705-7555 to talk to Frank or get in touch with anybody at Lavelle Law to direct you in the right path there. So, Frank, appreciate it very much. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
Great. Thank you, Jim.